Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of New Money with Spencer and Solo. I'm Solo Cisse, and today we have a very special guest joining us on the set. We have R&B legend Mario, and his fan base reaches all different types of people. So again, thank you guys for tuning in and enjoy the show.
What's up, everybody? I'm Spencer Dinwiddie.
And I'm Solo Cisse.
And this is New Money, brought to you by CoinDesk. And today, we have a man that doesn't really need much introduction.
I like the introduction.
Okay. Mario, obviously, we all know the hit songs. I used to sing Let Me Love You to my shorties and stuff, so, you know, I had to do it. On that note, when is the sixth studio album coming out?
Man, I'm working on it. It's a process. It's like dimensions of working on projects. You know, you go through like 100, 200, 5,000 songs, you know,
really?
And you find out what you want your conversation to be. Right now, I've been focusing on more of the conversation of my music versus just making hits. It's like, what do I want my fans, the world to know about me that they'll know already? And then sprinkle a few like, you know, hits in it in between that.
You feel like when you take a lot of time to really build a project, obviously you get the quality of content that you want, but ultimately, do you think that when you're piecing together pieces of songs that you've been working through throughout, you know, months into a year context, what's that process like of like finding and discovering your messaging?
It's interesting because when I listen to music that I did like over the past 2 years, I see how I've grown as a person.
Yeah.
So when you're constantly growing and like, you know, your potential is constantly chasing you as an artist, well, for me. And so I always try to find that balance between great music, whether I did it a year ago, and also current life situation and where the world is and what the conversation is.
Got you. I mean, obviously, a lot of people say, like, artists want to be ball players want to be artists, and you talk about...
No, they say ball players want to be rappers.
Rappers.
Not just artists.
He's like, big difference.
I don't really want to be a rapper. I'm more in the artist rave. But, nah, just saying, like, because you talked about putting together, like, a comprehensive project. I mean, I think attention to detail probably has to be something that is just paramount. Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. I think more than ever today, attention to detail in all facets of business and music is so important because you're on a world stage.
Yeah.
You know, people literally can follow you from the studio to the release.
Yeah.
Like, they're judging how you release your record, what you were wearing when you released it, what you were saying in your interview, like, everything is critiqued. And so it's really important just to know who you are as an artist and who your fan base is, because everything is more exposed and more out in the open.
I feel like, you know, that's probably a lesser talked about part of it. You're talking about like the hyper, like, you know, critiqueness of being an artist. And what has it been like being in the limelight? You've been in that forever, right?
Yeah.
How does that shape you? And you've grown in this.
Yeah. So, I mean, I started before the Digital Crusade. It was really just more about the music and touring and paraphernalia, you know what I'm saying? Like like merchandise and just really touching the people. Like, you had to go on a road to do promo tour.
Yeah.
You were traveling from state to state on a bus, you know what I'm saying? Sitting down doing the interviews. Now you can do Skype or like Zoom or they just start playing a record, like, you know, without you having to be there. But now you're touching your fans through social media or through platforms like what you guys created.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I mean, on that note, like, how do you feel like, well, first let me ask, what social medias do you use the most? Which are your favorite? But how do you feel like that has really impacted just the entire landscape?
The social media I use the most, I would say, is Instagram, right? I've even backed off from that a little bit because I've been focusing more on business and focusing more on the creative side of things, just time-wise. And I noticed that when I was posting a lot, I wasn't getting the interaction that I wanted, and I started posting a little bit less, and I started getting more interaction. So it was like, kinda you kind of got to give your fan a chance to miss you, and then when you come back with something you've been working on, it's just more potent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you touched on a very important keyword, right? It's like you're focusing on like creator, right? Like and things like that. And so obviously being an artist, like you've been a creator your entire life, obviously you're into acting and a lot of other things and stuff too. Like in terms of like ownership, IP, right? Like intellectual property, the stuff that you work on and stuff. Like, can you talk a little bit about what that's like in the music industry, right? Like you're an artist, like what are the economics of like how it goes from, you know, pen and paper to, you know, inspiration to then dollars, right?
Well, there's multiple ways to make money as an artist. You know, you have the writing intellectual property, which I could write a song for you and nobody has to know who I am and make probably more money than you if you're not a touring artist, right? Or you can be an artist who writes your own songs, produce your own music and tour and make all of the money, right? So there's multiple different ways to make money. I find for me, it's kind of a balance of all of them because I'm a writer, I'm a performer. I own my own music. Now, I was signed to a major, but now I'm independent. So I own my own masters, which reverts back to me after 2-3 years. You know what I'm saying? So I could sell my catalog if I wanted to and, you know, partner and sell it. But I don't believe in selling your full catalog. I'm like, hold on to some of your stuff. I was telling one of my homies over there, I say, hold on to some of your catalog. I know them M's look pretty, but hold on to at least half of your catalog because you don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years.
No, and you kind of touched on it lightly in terms of social media. We have an app that we're building and on your intellectual property. Obviously, we're in blockchain, in crypto, and shoot, new money by CoinDesk.
Facts.
Thank you. but how do you see that potentially, the blockchain space potentially impacting the music industry, especially because you're somebody that obviously owns your catalog, so...
You know, from what I understand about blockchain, I look at everything kind of from the macrocosm to the microcosm. And I think that some of the most intelligent people and people who actually influence the world the most look at things like that.
Yeah.
So when I started understanding blockchain, I'm like, oh, okay, this is like the first DNA for technology.
Yeah.
It's DNA, basically. The way you look at it is like you can mirror it to the way human DNA is. It's like, it's these blocks and chains that carry information and it's locked into a certain sequence. And right, so you can pretty much apply it to anything. I think the issue comes down to educating people on it, and you kind of can alleviate the middleman, but at the same time, because one song, so many people have to get paid sometimes, you still have to have those societies that collect money. So it's about how do you get and figure out how to work all of those into the space, and then what cryptocurrency do you use and what makes the most sense for that space.
I think
this is the beginning of it, of educating people.
I mean, you touched on a good point too, because like there's also going to be resistance from all those people that are currently getting paid.
Facts.
Always.
Right?
Facts. Always. Because what blockchain does now, you can literally create a direct relationship from an exchange standpoint from fan to artist.
Yeah.
Whereas though the transaction, you like this song, you want to stream this song, you pay me directly, blockchain, you got that, right? But now, how do we pay the producer? How do we pay the writer? Everybody's not going to want to run their business.
Actually, one of the things that is good with where the technology is going, and because it's verified and trusted, there are going to be platforms that have the speed, scalability to be able to kind of like shoot off the fractional shares and the royalties to those individual wallets and things like that, so everybody can get.
That's what y'all creating? That's what y'all doing?
I mean, hey, look, I'm also going to plug one more partner, Hedera Hashgraph. They're one of the best layer ones out there, but we can get into some of that later. Going forward into the future, that is something that we want to have implemented.
I think that it can be and will be a part of the future if once it's proven and people see it like on a mass scale. Maybe it starts small, maybe it starts with just retail or something like that, so that the masses can understand it. And then now it's like, oh, now that the masses understand it, boom, we're with the music, they love consuming music. Oh, it's the same concept, bam, now we got it. In, like, you know what I'm saying? One scary thing about it to me is, and I'm not a fearful person, but I experienced this, so I'm gonna speak on it. There was a specific, I don't want to speak on like super detail, but there was a specific couple of transactions I was making with cryptocurrency, right? Yeah. And I literally, the money disappeared. Like it was a transaction that happened and I could not get it back.
Really?
Yeah. But we can talk about that. Okay. But has that ever happened to y'all before?
Hey, it hasn't happened to me. So I want to hear about this.
Yeah,
off
it was was crazy, bro. And so I was like, all right, cool. Like, I mean, I'm going to just let it sit. But just, like,
I think that goes back to your point, though. It's the educational aspect of it, right? Like, it's not purely just value. When you think about blockchain, it's a technology. It's not just money, digital money.
No,
it's a very big part of it,
because you can use it in multiple different ways.
Exactly. And so, like, for even someone like yourself that has a ton of IP and crazy fan, there's some collectible items that you have that can be brought to the blockchain that would catch fire, quite honestly. And I think that's kind of like what the one thing that Spencer and I, and like obviously just like being in the space, but then also touching creators and like, you know, having shows like this and stuff, and the discovery aspect of it is, you know, we see kind of both sides. Like, we see the sides that trying to understand more about it, and then we also have had, you know, the ability to like be in the technology for a long time.
Facts. So let me ask you guys a question. As you know, lovers of music, as a fan of music, how do you see yourself consuming music partner with the technology of blockchain? Like, how will blockchain make it easier for you as a music consumer?
I know Spence got answers.
No, so I'm gonna say, one, you are the first person on our show that's asked us a question.
Which is?
So that speaks to being a wise man, because I say truly wise people know what they know and know what they don't know, and are willing to ask questions and have a dialogue. I think for me, it actually comes down to the royalties. That's, to me, what will be the biggest thing, right? If you own your own music, but you know that you want to have like these other parties that need to get paid, but right now they're taking too much of the cut, major record labels, whatever. You have this same type of direct relationship, right, with NFTs and things like that, where you can get straight to your fan, but you also have that verified way where the other people can get paid, and everybody can see it on the blockchain, so everybody knows that they're not getting screwed. You know what I mean?
So like publicly verifiable.
Right. I think the issue would then come in is to how much, because that's ultimately what we're dealing with now with streaming services, right? Yeah. Before, there was a standard in the industry of how much you would get on a project, what the royalty would be. But when you take it over to streaming, they just put it all into one pot and said, okay, $3 come off top and $7 goes to the artists, the publishing companies, yada, 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 right? So now switching that over to blockchain, it would now then have to be reconfigured to make sense financially for artists that are signed to labels. I mean, artists that are not signed, it may be a little easier.
That's going
to
be interesting, because I don't know how flexible the major labels will be. Will they allow their artists to do it?
Exactly.
Now, for the independents,
it's huge.
Hey, look,
it's big
we can get straight to the fan and get to this money. And so,
But because the labels, for now, have a bigger monopoly on the industry, because they have the catalogs of, like, you know, all the great artists. The standard would still have to come from them, unfortunately.
So it's something that's going to take time, right? Like when you think about it too, because like what you're pointing out to, and it's great when you have these conversations, is like you're pointing to the idea of centralization, right? Like the fact that those entities right now, as it's currently structured, do control the way in which that we consume this stuff, right? But over time, that stuff can change. The same thing with social media. You know, at this point in time, people are reliant on their incomes from a third party like a YouTube or a TikTok or whatever and things like that. And so, like, you know, things like what we've worked on, creator platforms and other stuff to allow that peer-to-peer relationship so the creator can own themselves and their IP and all that stuff mm-hmm. could be brought into that same way. But to your point,
talk a little bit about what you guys have created.
Yeah, I mean, the
card again?
Galaxy.
Galaxy, right?
Yeah, so creators, Galaxy, Galaxy with a C. Shout out. But no,
so. Gonna start selling planets on there soon?
Hey, Lil Uzi, buying a planet?
Right.
Saw that. And go on that point, when you talk about major record labels or centralized parties like the NBA, so in 2018, when I started the process of tokenizing my contract, the NBA said no. Right? And they didn't say no for necessarily the most valid reasons. It was more so like them being scared of me kind of like doing some new stuff. And so they had kind of put out that they're going to kick me out the league and sue me and all this other stuff. And so it was some fear mongering in there. Now, point to the camera. Listen, the NBA is my partner now. We do Dapper Labs and Top Shot together. Those are my people. I love you, Adam Silver. So if you're going to watch this clip, watch the entire clip. Don't soundbite me. But in 2018, it was a whole controversy over me getting into the technology.
Wow.
I had to kind of fight that battle and take some of those bullets. And I think it's going to take, you know, and granted, I'm no, like, LeBron.
Are you the
only basketball player to do it.
Wow.
And so now you see some football players doing it with, like, partnering with FTX and doing different things.
No, now, did you do your whole contract or part of it?
I was going to do the whole thing. And then when the NBA stepped in, it was like,
no.
Screw this.
Yeah,
everybody got kind of scared, so I decided to do 10% of it.
Okay.
So we still did it. It went through. It's live now. It's on blockchain. On Ethereum, you can look at it and see it and all that stuff.
You just basically took 10% of your contract public.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so the way it works is, like, from his perspective, and it's when you think about monetization and creator platforms, the way you make money is, like, for him personally, he's able to unlock trapped liquidity, which is, like, a fancy way of just saying, like, he has money in his contract that's coming later, let's bring it to time zero.
Got
right?
it.
And he turned it into an investment vehicle.
Got it.
You know, you pay a certain amount of interest on it, but mm-hmm. it's usually very favorable. You know, his cash flows are publicly verifiable. People know how much he makes because he's in the NBA.
And also you have bonuses and people play well. And
exactly.
They can kind of, it's about also including them in the journey too, mm-hmm. right? So, like, not necessarily how mine works, but in the future as it continues to go, like, let's say I hit 100 three-pointers in a season, and that's mm-hmm. some kicker, right? And now the fans also get to split this kicker with me. And so now they're like,
wow.
Oh, man, like, I want Spencer to hit this three. And so you get that engagement. And remember, like, as an entertainer, both of us, I mean, obviously on different sides of the spectrum, but the fans are why we're able to do what we do.
Thanks.
Like, if we didn't have fans, like, if nobody watched NBA games, I would probably be in real estate or something. You know what I mean? I would not be doing this, not full time, at least I play in the park, but I wouldn't be able to make a full time living if it weren't for the fans. And same way with music and acting, right? Like, if they weren't watching your movies or watching your shows or listening to your music, then you'd have to pick another career or another endeavor. Like, it may be a passion project, but you couldn't do it. So that was the whole premise of what we were doing, and also what we're building on the app now too. It's about decreasing the barrier from creator to fan, and whatever's special and important about you. So it could be singing or acting, it could be basketball, it could be, you know, a weightlifting class, because obviously he's buff as can be. you know what I mean? But just decreasing that barrier so you can have an authentic interaction, and creators can get paid for that, where it's not a Instagram or YouTube or whatever it is, basically strangleholding that relationship and saying, well, you'll only get the pennies on the dollar that, or a label, or the NBA will only, you'll only get the pennies on the dollar that you deserve. So that's what it's about.
Yeah, it's a lot of things. It could apply to the music industry and in a lot of different other industries as well. So the digital art that could be created from the album art that you do. Like, we see a lot of artists looking to try and do that and have come to us.
With the NFT space.
NFT space. Yeah. Exactly, and stuff. And that stuff is going to be what helps people understand the technology. Be like, oh, it's not just this money I don't see or whatever. You know, it's a lot of different other things that technology can be used.
Absolutely. I mean, it certainly is, like, something to really study and understand, because artists, we spend a lot of time on our art, lot of energy, a lot of thinking, a lot of processing what makes sense. And a lot of times it takes a while to actually see that come to fruition, especially during the quarantine. It was like, man. It was kind of, we were stuck in that, like, space of, like, how do we really ensure that the time we're investing makes sense right now? So you saw a lot of artists pull back and just sit on creating music.
Yeah. One thing actually, too, is I know that we've had the time to talk for a while and stuff like that, but, like, with stepping back from blockchain for a second in terms of, like, your business endeavors and all that stuff, right? Like, what you've been up to, right? Like, talk to us about what you've been doing, like, outside of the studio. Like, what are your passion projects outside?
So a lot of the projects I've been focusing on, some are in the medical space, without, like, blasting it out, because I kind of want to stay behind the scenes on some of the things I'm doing. Health and wellness It's something that I've been passionate about for a very long time. A lot of my family members passed away from, you know, colon disease or like drug use, you know, those types of things. So, you know, I really pride myself on being someone who's aware of his health and, you know, want to help people that just want to stay healthy and live a healthy life and sustaining their health over a period of time, no matter what's going on in the world. So I've been focusing on building some things in that space, the real estate space, even outside of the country, building like some relationships and some partnerships.
There you go. That's yeah. Big time.
Yeah, because I feel like we focus so much on the culture in the U.S. as artists and, you know, as people, like it's so consumptive, consumes you, like you get caught up into it, but the world is such a big place. Yeah. And when you start traveling and you start seeing like how other places are coming up, it's like, and they invite you, they want us to come there, you know, so focusing on maybe moving some of my bread and doing some things in that space. I enjoy building communities, you know, the concept of building community. Yeah. Coming from Baltimore, Maryland, which is a very tight community, but it's very unhealthy. So my goal is to help go back there and help build structures that are healthier for people. Also centers that where people can go and get help. You know what I'm saying? In terms of just health awareness, next level of understanding the frequency of the body and how it works and how you can self-heal, things of that nature. So that's some of the things I've been working on. Also writing a book right now called Life in Exchange that I'm really excited about.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the premise of the book?
High level.
Yeah, high level.
So Life in Exchange, basically, it started as a memoir to my cousin. He moved to LA for like 6 months with me. And his mindset completely shifted from Baltimore. He's moving out here, more chill space.
Yeah.
It's like more vast, you can find peace out here easier.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So he basically was asking me, why is it so hard to do the same thing at home, right? And so I started writing this, basically a paragraph to him, and then it turned into a book, bro. Like, Life in Exchange is like life gives you an experience, you respond to it.
Yeah.
How you respond to it pretty much sets up what the next phase of your life is going to be. You know, so that's kind of the concept of it. But I talk about everything from eating to mindset, awareness, frequency, bandwidths, like all that type of stuff. In a way where people can understand it and digest it.
I mean, to me, that's super powerful. And, you know, we just now really got to speak off camera, like kind of sort of for the first time. But there's a lot of similarities just in terms of thought process. And it's dope to hear a lot of these things.
Yeah.
I recently tore my ACL and had a pretty fast recovery, about 5 months. But, you know, that's an important part of that. Train every day, obviously, but mindset, to your point, frequency, thought process, like how you approach it every day, right? Like what you're feeding, you know what I'm saying? Not, I'm spiritual as well, but not just the universe, but obviously higher power, all that stuff, like how you approach every single moment and challenge, which what it sounds like your book is also speaking
to. Absolutely, bro. But it's like you're speaking to yourself. I wrote it in a way where I'm kind of speaking to myself, but it's also, I'm not dictating anything. Yeah. It's more like I'm sharing something that I just learned today. And I hope that you can relate to it, type of vibe.
And I think you also speak to, you mentioned the world, right? There's, what, 7.5 on just under 8 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
We have 350, 400 million in America. Mm-hmm. And so you talked about it being consumptive. Like, sometimes people get silent and thinking, like, this 400 million or so people are all there are in the world.
That's
when you really think about it, the number 8 billion is so much larger.
It's huge, man.
Yeah.
It's so many different perspectives and so many different systems that affect how people think in society, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that we're all doing in this generation is we're taking control of not only our lives, but how we influence the world, right? So taking that step forward, you being the first NBA player to do what you did in the cryptocurrency space with your deal, like, that's big, man. You know what I'm saying? It's dope, bro. It's, you took one for the team.
You
know what I'm saying?
You did.
And
not just one.
He took a few. Nah, man, but it's, you know, it's our duty to take our visions and be fearless in our pursuit to not only learn more, but to put it in motion. You know what I'm saying? So, like, who are going to be the new leaders, like real leaders of any area, of any genre? You know what I'm
that's
saying?
That's love. I mean, I think, too, also just like people that look like us, too. Like, that's a very big part of
it,
too.
Just it's huge.
Completely different part of it. But also, you know, too, this is new money, right? And so I think tacking on to like kind of the other stuff that you do outside the studio, I'd be curious to know, like, kind of what do you think about your portfolio? Like, investments, have you like to see, like, kind of what do you really look at?
There's things that I like in the crypto space or in the space of like even investing in other artists, investing in art, for example. There's a few places where I've like placed my money just to kind of like things that I'm interested in, but I'm not passionate about. Like art. Yeah. I'm not passionate about art. I like art, but I've invested
that's
in art.
Though.
And then over the past like three or four years, like I've made great money investing in art and then letting it sit. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's better than having your money sitting in the bank. That's how I look at it, right?
Sure.
But things that I'm passionate about, building communities, like I said before, investing in myself as an artist, of course. Yeah, you know, I spend a lot of money on my own art. I mean, I do see returns more than I would see being signed with a label. The crypto space, I'm not fully invested in it. I do have some portfolios, but I haven't studied it enough to understand how do I really make money in this space, like on a major scale. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
No, I mean, I think that authenticity is key, right? So you talked about the art space and you said, you know, I'm not super passionate, but I have been able to partner with people that have given me a crash course. I got some art here. It worked out for me. Crypto space, like I'm dabbling in it, but you know, like it's not something that I'm super well versed in. Like all that stuff, when we're talking about the education process, especially for people that are like us, I think sometimes, you know, we're not vulnerable enough. And I know that's sometimes a buzzword, but to say like, hey, like I'm in this, but I don't really know what I partner
but
with
like,
this
okay,
person.
But like, okay, for example, like how does one, okay, when it's a new space, when you first got into it, for example, you may have this person you trust his opinion, but how do you know without taking a risk on your own if their opinions are valuable?
Million dollar question. How do you make money before you
before you risk
capital?
So honestly,
because you had you asked someone, right?
I took the bullets.
Okay.
So this is a little anecdote. When I used to look at markets as a kid, and not saying that I like analyzed them and broke them down or anything like that, but I would be like, okay, the bond market was created in what year? The stock market in what year? Like, you know, things like that. And I'd be like, why can't I be a part of something that is, you know, new, like the dot-com boom, all that stuff. Like, you know, even if I make it to the NBA and make $100 million or whatever, that 10% or 8% that I'm supposed to get in the stock market, it'll keep me going, but it's not going to take me to Rockefeller status, right? So I wanted to be a part of something that was the vanguard or something new. So when this came up, and I had only put in like Vegas gambling money, it wasn't nothing crazy, I rode the crash up, rode it down, I took the lumps, I invested in BS, obviously had predominantly a lot of Bitcoin, but I listened to podcasts or podcasts. Like I would be on the team plane listening to podcasts while I was watching game film. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I'd fall asleep, podcast still running. And so for me, it was just diving in 2 feet, getting as well versed as possible. And then what happened was, as I started to talk about it, and this is before I had a ton of money in it, right?
Right.
Like, as I started to talk about it, you just end up organically meeting some of those people. Because they say, wait, hold on, you're an NBA player talking about Bitcoin?
Right.
What's going on? And then I'll come to them and tell them, like, look, I only got in this space 2 months ago. Like, but I've learned X, Y, Z. Can you tell me more? And then they give you a little bit of advice. And then you get to the next conversation. I've been in this space now for 6 months. And I've learned about Bitcoin and Ethereum. What do you have to tell me? And then you keep going. You make those connections. And now, you know, we've been blessed to know, like, some of the biggest in the space, like Roham, who's the leader of Dapper Labs and stuff like that.
So the people that you say are biggest in the space, are these people who have been in since inception, like since there was a toddler?
Yeah,
or these people who are coming in later? Like, because
So some of them have like been in since the beginning, like 2012 and stuff like that. And, you know, the owner of FTX, who just raised $900 million at an $18 billion valuation, like people like that who are doing astronomical numbers and phenomenal things. And so once you kind of verify that you're interested, you're willing to learn, you're willing to kind of take your lumps, and you start getting those type of partners and influence, then like it start to kind of really just roll downhill.
Because one thing also too is like even the last point too on that in general, I think any good person that makes financial investments or anything like that, you got to be agnostic. You know, at the beginning when you're learning about it, you can't get overwhelmed and like, why does this thing work? Why does it not work? It's more like I need all the information in front of me to make then a proper decision. If someone came to me right now and told me that Bitcoin, crypto, blockchain, all that stuff didn't make sense, highly unlikely, right? There's I've been in the space enough to have seen enough to have gone down the path of wanting to commit to it. I want to know that. Like, I want to know your contrarian opinion.
Exactly.
Like, do you make sense? I want to know that because I got money in it, right?
So yeah, no,
you
facts.
Have to be agnostic to that at that point so that you can, you know, make those rational decisions.
Well, I'm definitely going to pick you guys' brain more off camera about it. And, you know, I'm inspired to step in more and, like, you know, learn more. One of the things that I wanted to mention earlier that I forgot is the CBD space.
Yeah.
And not so much plant medicine, but like CBD and like vaping and wanting to incorporate healthier forms of vaping. So I'm working on a company right now that I'm partnering with, and we're gonna be doing both, but like I'm primarily working on the healthier part of it.
Yeah.
So that's something exciting I forgot to mention earlier. So,
no, yeah. And I honestly think like that's probably the best place to wrap. I mean, we see that we you know, have your commitment to dive in with us on blockchain cryptocurrency.
Yeah, yeah.
You have my commitment in terms of hearing about health and the CBD space and what you're doing, sir. In terms of making it healthier.
Yes, so sir. Thank y'all for having
I'm
me,
I'm in
bro.
This.
Appreciate you guys.
Yes,
and
sir.
Again, this is New Money, brought to you by CoinDesk. I am Spencer Dinwiddie. This is Mario, my co-founder, Solo Cisse, and we are signing out.